And now if you'll open your Bibles to the book of the Revelation, chapter 18. It was 48 Sundays ago that we began our series of messages in the book of the Revelation. 48 Sunday nights ago. And I feel that it has certainly been advantageous to the church, to the congregation, to the pastor. For I believe this has been one of the most effective series of messages that we've ever preached in what is soon to be the last Sunday of this year, 10 years as your pastor at Worth Baptist Church. Chapter 18, right after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the revelation of Jesus Christ, Thy Son and our Savior. We thank Thee that Thou hast given us a plan and program to guide us through the darkness and the peril of an unfriendly and chaotic world. We're glad that though we are in this world tonight, we are not of this world, for we have been chosen out of this world by the Lord Jesus. And now we pray that as our minds are centered upon Thee, the Holy Spirit would arrest every thought and every movement and every gesture and every word and every expression, that even the beating of our hearts would be toward Thee, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I trust that you have your Bible with you tonight for the reading of the 18th chapter is very important. I have been in places and I have heard preachers read the Bible so hurriedly that I wanted to stand up and say, slow down! What God has to say is much more important than what you have to say. You young preachers, you take a lesson from your pastor. Read the Word of God with some depth and dimension to it, and don't skim over it and hurry over it like it didn't amount to anything. It is very important what God has to say. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The Doom of Babylon, Part 2. In our message last week, we dealt with the Doom of Babylon, Part 1, Ecclesiastical Babylon, the apostate religious system that was riding the beast, the Antichrist, which symbolizes to us that the false system of religion was in control of the governments of the world. We are much closer to that tonight than you would care to dream of. When we say Babylon, we go back all the way to Nimrod, almost 3,000 years before Christ. In the building of the Tower of Babel, which means confusion. Now, there was that ancient city of Babel or Babel, which became the great empire of Babylonia, or the city Babylon, the great vast territory known as the land of Mesopotamia between the Tigris and Euphrates River that dumped into the Persian Gulf. There was a city. And notice the past tense. There was a city called Babylon. It is located some 50 miles south of the modern-day Baghdad in Iraq, or Iraq. There was a city. But beloved, Babylon is no more. I read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 13. I read in the book of Jeremiah, chapters 50 and 51, that Babylon would be so utterly destroyed by the wrath of God through the hands of the Medes and Persians that not even the Arabian would pitch his tent there anymore. And it would be a place for the wild beast and fowl of the air. It is nothing more than desolation tonight, what used to be Babylon the Great. In God's economy with mankind, there are two cities that stand out with great prominence. City number one is Jerusalem. It symbolizes all that which is righteous. That is God's city. It is mentioned in the Bible more than any other city in all the Word of God. The second city is Babylon. It is mentioned second only in the number of times to the city of Jerusalem. 260 times the city of Babylon is mentioned in the Word of God. It symbolizes all that which is evil. You see, we are living in Babylon tonight because the whole world system is symbolized by the name Babylon. This is the most confused age that man has ever lived in. Now that sounds like a strange statement. When we've been to the moon and back, when we've invented penicillin and modern miracle drugs to cure almost everything but a common cold. There's but one way to cure it. Go to the doctor, it takes 2 weeks. Stay at home, it takes 14 days. This morning at 5:30, I always listen to CBS because they either have scientific or religious discussions on CBS at 5:30 on Sunday morning. Many of you have been to the doctor, and the doctor has said to you, you must cut down on your solids and fats because they build up cholesterol in your bloodstream that thickens your arteries and will cause hardening of the arteries. I was amazed this morning when I heard these two fellows talking. And you know what the science has decided now? The medical authorities say now that it's not so much cholesterol as it is protein that's causing the hardening of your arteries. Just a few weeks ago, my doctor told me, preacher, eat all the proteins you can and stay off the fats. What am I supposed to do? You go to the store and you see the detergent that says contains no phosphates. What are you supposed to do? They tell you now that there's nothing wrong with that. We're living in a confused world. The scientists are baffled and they're confused. The only thing that is not changing is the Word of God. Amen. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. P.S. I have no time for anybody that departs from the Scripture. I don't care whether he's got his car on this way or that way, or whether he calls himself a pope, a priest, a pastor, a prophet, or a bishop, or whatever he is. When he leaves the Word of God, he leaves me. I'm standing on the Bible because I have learned a long time ago that the Bible is the only constant, unchanging rule and authority that we have to go by. Math is changing, English is changing, science is changing, but the Word of God is remaining the same. The ancient city of Babylon represents the world system in which we live tonight. In the Gospel according to John, Jesus said, if you were of this world, the world would love his own. But you are not in the world, for I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. The word for world there in the Greek is cosmos, and it means the world system. The system of this world. Government, culture, commerce, all put together. Everything. The world system. We are not supposed to be conformed to this world. Isn't that what Paul said? Be not conformed to this world system, but be it transformed by the renewing of your mind. This world is no friend of grace. James said in his 4th chapter, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity against God? Whosoever therefore is the friend of this world system is the enemy of God. No wonder John wrote in his 1st epistle, love not this world system, neither the things that are in this world system. For the things that are in this world system are going to pass away. They are contrary to God. They are against God. Whosoever therefore loveth the world hath not the love of God abiding in him. People tell me that they're Christians and they never go to church. I don't believe it. People tell me that they love Christ and they very, very seldom ever frequent the door of the church. I don't believe it. I believe they love the world and this world system. I believe that actions speak louder than words. This world system is the enemy of God. The ancient city of Babylon that began with Nimrod in the east many years ago is working alive tonight as the great world system in which we live. Thank God we are not of it, though we are in it. And there's a vast difference. That city has been refurbished, as it were, from the time that Nimrod started it. In the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon, who took the title King of Kings, that's a mockery to God. He ruled in that great kingdom. He built for his wife, who was from Persia, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon that became one of the seven wonders of the world. Acre upon acre of elevated gardens watered from the Euphrates River. The Euphrates River divides the city of Babylon. It lays out four square. The city of ancient Babylon that Nebuchadnezzar built had a wall around it. Yea, it had two walls, an inner wall and an outer wall. The wall of defense around the city of Babylon, which was 200 miles square, quite a city, 200 square miles. The walls around that city were 250 feet high, 75 feet wide. And on top of them, 250 lookout towers. For armed use, for military use. Six chariots could ride abreast on top of the walls of the city of Babylon. Even the rooms where they stored their gold was made, the rooms themselves were made of gold. Floors were gold, walls were gold, ceilings were gold. In other words, their Fort Knox was made of gold. Not only did it house gold, but it was made of gold. Think of the palace that was in it. One night, Belshazzar, the great-great-grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, threw a big party for himself and his wives and his concubines and 1,000 of his princes and their wives and concubines. All of them had at least one wife, and most of them had more than one wife, and most of them had more than one concubine. So there were 3, 4, maybe 5,000 people in that banquet hall that night. And here comes the Medes and Persians. What are they going to do? Cyrus and Darius, the leaders of these two great combined powers, were men of ingenious minds. They knew they could not, with battering rams, tear down the walls as the Romans tore down the walls of the city of Jerusalem. They knew they could not scale 250 feet high. You know what they did? They turned the course of the Euphrates River and went in that city underneath the walls. And Belshazzar and his 1,000 lords and their wives and concubines were drinking wine out of the golden vessels that came out of the temple in Jerusalem. And the hand of God appeared on that wall that night and wrote out the doom of Babylon and the doom of Belshazzar and all that these stood for. And Daniel 5:30 says, and in that night Belshazzar was slain. Isaiah said that there would never be another habitation there, and Jeremiah said the same thing. It's desolate tonight. But its symbolism still lives. We talked last week about ecclesiastical Babylon. Under the symbolism of the great whore who rode the beast, the apostate church, false religion. Tonight in chapter 18, political, imperial, commercial, cultural Babylon. This whole world system, including religion and government and imperial powers and culture and society, these are all wrapped up in the word Babylon. That's what it means. You ask, will or do you believe there will ever be another city built on the Euphrates called Babylon? Personally, I do not. What then is John talking about? He's talking about a world system. This whole world system under the symbolism of the great city Babylon. And ecclesiastical Babylon and political Babylon are so much alike that they're treated as one in chapter 18. And both go down in defeat. You remember last week in chapter 17, we saw the great whore, the apostate church, the false religious system, overthrown by political Babylon, overthrown by governments. In chapter 18, the doom of political Babylon is spelled out under the judgment hand of Almighty God. Just as sure as we are here tonight, God is going to judge this world system. Men can laugh at Christ and mock the church and despise the people of God and make a holiday out of the holy day and carry on their trade and their commerce and ignore the house of God. And they can do it for 1 year and 5 years and 10 years and 100 years and 1,000 years. But in 1 hour, it's going to be destroyed. It won't take God long when he starts. For strong is the Lord God of hosts, whose judgment is upon her. Don't make friends with the world. I don't mean don't be friendly with the people. I'm talking about the system of this world. I read in verse 4, those words, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her judgment. This world is going to be judged. As sure as you're out there on that pew tonight, God is going to judge this world system. Commerce, imperialism, society, culture, the whole bit is wrapped up in the word Babylon, the world system. How many people today are selling their souls for one more dollar's profit? How many people are ignoring God and ignoring the church just to make a dollar? This world system is under the judgment hand of Almighty God. Come out from among them and be separate. Even the tribulation saints are called to come out of that great world system, lest the judgment of God fall upon them. You remember what Paul said? Listen to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I hope the young people will listen particularly at this point. Young girls, don't you become involved with young men who are not Christians. It'll be the greatest mistake of your life. It'll be the greatest tragedy of your life for you to become involved and love and marry an unsaved person. Young men, don't you become involved with unsaved girls. Try to win them to Christ, yes, but don't become serious with people who are not Christians. It leads to heartache and tragedy and despair. I've seen it in my short ministry time and time again and again and again. Doesn't matter how sweet she seems, how handsome he looks, young people don't become involved with unsaved young people and court and give your body and your mind and your energy and your flesh to that which is unchristlike. It'll be the greatest tragedy of your life. You may not see it right now, young people. Some of you won't because you're not even listening, but I'm telling you the truth. Don't do it for God's sake and for your sake. Don't do it. It's a mistake. This world system is no friend to grace. This world system is no friend to God. This world system is doomed and destined for judgment. Don't be a part of it. That's what the book says. I read 3 times in 1 hour. It's taken Babylon a long time to become what she is tonight. Commercially, culturally, socially, governmentally, educationally, it has taken thousands of years for the world to become what it is tonight. But it's only going to take God 1 hour. Isn't that what he said? In 1 hour. 1 hour. Just 60 minutes. Just your lunch hour. Your supper hour on the job. That's all it's going to take God to destroy the very likeness of this whole world system. It's coming. That mighty city, symbolizing all the world system, is going to be paid double for her sins. You say, that's strange. That's the law of God. Go home tonight and read it in the 22nd chapter of the book of Exodus. And you'll find that men are paid double for their wrong. Somebody says, well, I've gotten by with it so far. Well, so has Babylon. But be sure your sins will find you out. And this world system is headed for a double dose of everything that she has done against the people of God and the church of God and the name of God. Double she shall be paid for all her sins. That's what the book says. That's the law of God. That's God's principle. And you and I can't change it. Babylon is fallen. Is fallen. You read with me those verses that listed 28 commodities, 28 articles of commerce, beginning with gold and coming down the scale to the souls of men. Any governmental system, any commercial system, any system of this world that counts not the sanctity of the soul of man as being a part and image and likeness of God is nothing. You know why communism is going to lose out? It has already lost the sight of the importance of the individual and the soul of man. That's why. I don't believe that communism will ever take this country. I've known a lot of preachers to go off on the tangent and they've preached communism, 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 and so forth and so on until they've left the main import. They've left the main picture. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am against communism. And I do not adhere to any of the principles of communism. But communism is going to lose out because it has lost sight of the importance of the individual and the soul of man. And barter it and exchange it just like they would gold and silver. There are communists in our nation. No one would question that. There are communists in government, in school, and in religion. And communism is a threat to worldwide democracy. And communism will be a part of this great world image of Gentile power. But communism is going to lose out for the simple reason it has lost the sight of the importance of the soul and the individual. And you know, a lot of people who are not communists have lost sight of that too. A lot of people that go to church every Sunday have lost sight of the importance of the souls of men. And we talk about people as though they were animals and souls as though they were nothing. God says, therefore shall her plagues end 1 hour. And when this happens, when the world system collapses, the merchants and the seamen and the great merchandising elements of the world are going to weep and cry because there's no market left to sell their merchandise. But wait. Verse 20 says, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. When it all falls, when this system of world government and commercialism collapses, heaven is going to rejoice. You see, the church has been there since the close of chapter 3 in the Revelation. And when all of this happens, when ecclesiastical, political Babylon, the last and final wrap-up of Gentile power portrayed in the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had of the great image, when that collapses, heaven is going to rejoice. And an angel to pinpoint and illustrate more vividly takes a big stone and cast it into the sea and says, like this, Babylon is going to fall. If you'll go back and read Jeremiah 51, 63 and 64, that same thing was said in the day of Jeremiah, over 500 years before Christ, 2,600 years ago almost, Jeremiah said the doom of Babylon will be just like this. And this great world system says that I am no widow, I'm a queen, and I'm ruling. But Isaiah says in one day you'll become a widow and you'll become childless. The world system is about to collapse. But there's rejoicing among the saints. And when the collapse comes, there'll be no more merchandising, no more trading, no more crafts, no more marriage, no more voice of the groom and bridegroom, nothing. It's all over. When's this going to happen? We're going to see in chapter 19 next Sunday night. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank Thee for these moments together in Thy Word. We thank Thee that we are not a part of this world system. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that we do not belong to the world, but we belong to Jesus. It is now our prayer that the Holy Spirit would conquer every thought of every heart and every person here. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that if there be those without the Savior, that they might flee for safety from the wrath to come. And dear God, if there be those who feel tonight that they should slip a bit closer through the rededication of their lives to Thee, may they come. For those who need a church home and are seeking a place to serve and worship, may they come. May any and all who have needs tonight in their hearts and lives, may they come. And may Christ be honored in every decision we ask in His name and for His sake. And with thanksgiving, as we wait upon the Lord, we're going to sing in a moment a hymn of invitation. Before we do, think with me for just 30 seconds. What if you knew tonight that God was getting ready to pour out His wrath, His judgment upon this world? What would you do about it? You see, Jesus may come at any second to take His own out, and then these horrible things are going to begin to happen. I wonder if we knew that Christ would come before next Sunday, if we'd live this coming week like we lived last week. What would be our testimony, our witnessing, our sharing Christ, our visitation, our record of service for Jesus, if we knew? Well, say, I'm going to tell you that we don't know that He's not coming. He could come at any moment. His coming is imminent, right now, anytime. If you're out there tonight and you feel that you need help from the Lord, as we sing hymn number 347, I want you to step out of your seat and come to the front. There's an altar here that will stretch from here to eternity, from here to the throne of God. If you feel the need of it, I want you to come while we sing this first stanza and while the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. Will you do